God doesn't ever not have a plan. And so we're going to stand. We're going to hear God's word. We're going to receive God's word. We're going to allow it to take seed and grow within our hearts and within our spirits so that we would be encouraged and stand firm. So won't you stand and welcome with me Pastor Matt as he comes to share the word.
Won't you pray with me, please? And let's just open up our hearts and spirits to Jesus this Good Friday. Lord, we are so humbled by what you've done on our behalf. And so thankful to you for the price that you paid. You chose to go to the cross, not because of anything you had done, but you chose to go as a sacrifice. You chose to take upon your shoulders our sin. And because of that, we have received an amazing inheritance, a crown of life. And we're so indebted to you. As we sit around your word now, we pray our hearts would be open and our spirits would be receptive to all that it is that you want to say. Holy Spirit, speak, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I'm going to get Nathan to continue playing with me here. And it's not often I get to just minister alongside him like this. But on Good Friday, I just love that. And very proud of my son. He's a young man that loves God passionately. And as a dad, that's something that just delights my heart. And I don't know, for many of you, I encourage you, keep on praying for your kids. Keep on modeling. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Because you're the best sermon they're ever going to hear. And I know that God's raising up a generation in this time, for such a time as this. You know, I want to speak this morning on this Good Friday. I've simply called my message, At the Table. And here we have a beautifully presented table. And it was only a few hours before the Lord Jesus was crucified that he had a meal together with his disciples. And it was a meal like no other meal that they had actually had previously. And they had had many, many meals together before. I mean, they had spent 3 years together and had eaten together many times. But this time was to be different. Oh, so different. And it started with the preparation of the table. There's been a lot of preparation that's gone into this table. There's been preparation. And when I want to read you from Luke chapter 22, I'm going to pick it up in verse 7, which refers to this time. It says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for that?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. And say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. And so they prepared the Passover." They had to make sure that everything was just right for this table. Because this was a very special meal. It was the Passover meal. And everything had to be particularly right, especially the food. Because the food that was on there was, it was a lavish feast, but there were certain foods that were on this table that were very significant, had special meaning. And some of the things that were on this table, we firstly had the unleavened bread. And this bread was significant because this bread in the Passover meal was what reminded them of the night that they The Israelites fled from Egypt out of captivity. So hasty was their departure that they didn't have time to wait for the yeast to rise and to make this bread. And so this unleavened bread reminds them of that time when they left captivity in Egypt. It had to be on the table. Not only was it the unleavened bread, but they also had the parsley. And the parsley represented the incredible fruitfulness and abundance and the flourishing that the Israelites experienced while they were in captivity in Egypt. They outgrew the Egyptians. They were so blessed. And this parsley, every time they looked at it at the Passover meal, it caused them to remember that flourishing. It had a special place on the table. And next, there was another special ingredient. The horseradish. I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of horseradish. It's one of those foods that kind of gets up your nose and just... But the taste was bitter. The taste was bitter. And this horseradish actually reminded the Israelites of the bitter bondage that they actually had and the suffering that they endured while they were actually in captivity in Egypt. This had a special place on the table. And then there was the haricot. This was a thick paste that was made from fruits, nuts, wine, a little bit of honey, and it was symbolic because it represented the mortar or the bricks that the Israelites had to make during their time in captivity for Pharaoh. And every time they saw the haricot, they were reminded of that mortar. The haricot had a special place on the table. And then there was the lamb. The lamb also had a special place on the table. It represented the sacrifice of the lamb that was done on the night that they fled Egypt by the people of Israel. Every family was to slaughter a lamb that was unblemished, and they took the blood that was shed that night. And it says that they put it on the doorposts and on the lintel, the doorposts and the lintel of every house. I love that. It's making a sign of the cross. It's pointing to Jesus. The lamb had a special place on the Passover table. And when the destroying angel came on that night, it says that those that had put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, says that the destroying lamb passed over and none of their firstborn children died. And those that hadn't, many of the Egyptians, theirs did. And then there was the hard-boiled egg. These are quite rare at the moment. I think their value has gone up significantly. But the hard-boiled egg had a special place on the Passover table. And the hard-boiled egg represented and spoke about springtime. It spoke about new life, new beginnings, a rebirth. And the hard-boiled egg was on the Passover table that night. Everything had to be just right on the Passover table. And the disciples made sure that everything was. And on that night, everything seemed that it was in place and everyone was having a great time as they feasted together. But Jesus seemed preoccupied. Jesus seemed like he was distracted and he had something on his mind. And as the disciples who were there were pondering that, he did something quite amazing. He reached and he got some water. And he began to wash the feet of those very disciples. They were flabbergasted. They were shocked. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord. This is our leader. And he's washing our dirty feet. They couldn't understand it. But that's exactly what Jesus did on that night at that Passover meal. And they were speechless. All except for good old Peter. Peter, you know, was never one to be quiet on occasions like this. And he said this. He stood up and he said, "Jesus, there's no way that you're going to wash my feet." But Jesus just looks at Peter with love in his eyes and says, "Peter, it must be this way." And then Peter, being true to form, couldn't keep quiet and just leave it at that. Just stands up and says, "Well, okay, Jesus, don't just wash my feet, but wash all of me." Jesus once again looks at him and says, "Peter, your feet will be enough." Disciples would never forget that look that they saw in Jesus' eye as he spoke to Peter that night. And just as they were processing this moment and they were speechless with everything that was going on, Jesus did something else that really rattled them. He began to say and indicate that there was a problem at the table. And as I said earlier, they'd spent so much time preparing the table to make sure that it was just right, that every ingredient that was needed was there. And now Jesus is saying there was a problem. And he says this as he looked at them. He says, "One of you is going to betray me." Betray him? Disciples were saying, "Never, we'll never do that." And as they were thinking and pondering around that, Jesus then went and did something, and he took the sop. Sop was the bread that had been dipped in the wine. And he says, "The one to whom I give this sop is the one who's going to betray me." I mean, right now the disciples were beside themselves. Jesus is looking around the room and they're thinking, what does he mean? And they couldn't understand it, because the sop was what you gave to your friends. The sop was what you gave to your loved ones. The sop was what you gave to those that you wanted to honor. And now Jesus is saying that he's going to give this sop to the one who's going to betray him. They didn't understand. And then Jesus takes that piece of bread, that sop, dipped in the wine. And he goes over to Judas and he gives him the sop. And he says, "Friend, go and do what you must." At that moment, Judas gets up and runs out of the room. And everyone's a bit mystified by that. Judas was the purse carrier. And they thought maybe Jesus had said to him that he needed to go and buy some more supplies. And So they were confused and they didn't quite know what was going on. And just when they thought that's about as bad as the party could get, something else happens. Jesus turns and looks at the rest of them in the room and says these words. He says, not only will one of you betray me, but every one of you will abandon me. Every one of you, seated in this room, you're going to leave me. And they were all speechless because they were like, no, Lord. And Peter, of course it was Peter. He stands up and says, Lord, I will never abandon you. And in fact, he even goes further and he throws the rest of the disciples under the bus and he says, even if they deny you, I never will. Jesus once again looked at Peter with that love and compassion in his eyes and said to him, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter says, never. In fact, they all said they would never do that. Every one of them said they would never abandon Jesus. They hadn't seen the night going like this. They hadn't seen it rolling out this way. They'd put so much effort into preparing this table, and now things just were so crazy and insane. They didn't understand. And then Jesus surprised them once again. Just where they've been talking about there being a problem at the table, he turns it around and starts talking about a promise. He takes the bread, the unleavened bread that was on the table, and he breaks it. He says, this is my body, broken for you. They'd never heard such things before. And then he took the cup. It's filled with wine. He says, this is the cup of my blood that's been shed for you. This meal was kind of beyond their comprehension. No longer were they looking back to thousands of years before, reflecting on the time back in Israel, reflecting on the time back in captivity. No longer were they talking about Moses and Pharaoh and Israel and mortar and bricks. Things had changed. Now they were talking about the future. And something they'd never experienced and seen before. They were speaking now about a new day, a new dispensation, a new covenant. They were speaking about a covenant that was made on a better promise. Jesus said, whenever you eat of this bread, drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me. You see, what happened on that night changed everything forever. This was no longer just the Passover meal. This had now become the table of the Lord. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, you and I can receive healing. Because of the broken body of Jesus, you and I have hope. You and I have freedom. You and I have joy. You and I have peace. We have life. And Jesus says, all you have to do is remember me. You see, every one of us that's watching today on this Good Friday, you're invited to come and eat at this table. Every one of us is invited to receive what this table represents and what it provides. This table required great preparation. But Jesus became the preparation for you and I. And he's prepared the way. All that he asks is that we prepare our hearts. He said we're to eat and drink in remembrance of him. And this table, it addresses not just the problem of that night, but it addresses my problem and your problem. And that is the problem of our sin. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory, God's perfection, God's goodness. But it also offers a promise of healing, a promise of forgiveness. And on this Good Friday, I want to extend an invitation for you to come and eat at this table. Today, we're remembering that one person like no other. There was a prophet called Isaiah who lived hundreds of years before Jesus. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, he said this about the coming Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. I know the listeners back then, that would have been as mystifying as it was to what the disciples heard on that night. To them, so entrenched in the sacrificial system, they would have thought, it sounds like God's going to send a human to be the ultimate sacrifice. We can deal with animals being sacrificed, but a human making the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, they couldn't comprehend it. And in the New Testament, we see John the Baptist preaching and teaching in the deserts about Jesus who was coming. And when Jesus walks up to him one day, he says these words, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one we've been talking about. This is the one that the scriptures have been referring to. This is what the sacrificial system has been foreshadowing." When Jesus kicked off his ministry at the age of 30, we see this in Mark 10, 45. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then after living a sinless life, he was betrayed, he was arrested, he was falsely accused, he was beaten, he was battered, and he went to a cross claiming to be God and that he could forgive sin, which is all true. But they trumped up the charges and he angered the religious people, and they decided that the best thing to do was to execute him, thinking that that would end it all. But the cross would not be the end. The cross would be the beginning. And all looked on in horror as Jesus was nailed to that cross and going through the most agonizing and horrendous and horrible and painful of death. And yet when he breathed his last, he cried out these words, "It is finished." The Bible says that God so loved the world, so loved you, that he sent his Son as a substitute to pay the price, to stand in our place, for the sins that we've committed, to take the penalty for those sins that you and I should pay. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He died for you. The death of Jesus accomplished something so perfect, so full, and it continued through to the resurrection. So when Jesus burst forth from the grave, we received the gift of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15 says it this way, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" When God sees us, because of what this table represents, he no longer sees our sin. Instead, he sees the perfect person of Jesus. My guilt for his grace. My sin for his righteousness. My imperfection for his perfection. And where he took the cross for me that I deserved, I received a crown that I didn't deserve. He did what the law could not do. And that's what you and I receive when we come to this table. Let's say in a couple of hours, you were to stand before God. Do you know who would pay for your sins? Is that deal settled? On this Good Friday, I want you to know that Jesus has paid it all. All that it requires is a response from you for you to come and eat from this table. I wonder if wherever you are, if you could just bow your head. And I would love to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. Don't worry about who's in the room with you, because this moment is significant. It's significant because of what He wants to do in your life right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if He is not your personal Lord and Savior, if you have not invited Him into your heart, if you are not sitting at His table, well, the invitation is being extended to you this Good Friday. Nothing can save like Jesus saves. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And He had you in mind when He went to the cross. You might say, Matt, I know what I've done. My sins are too great. But Jesus says, I know, and I've paid the price. You say, it sounds too good to be true. I know it is, but it is true. And it's yours to receive today if you would come and sit at His table. And so if you would like to do that on this Good Friday, maybe you've been far off from God and you know that you need to make right today. Maybe you've just found yourself watching this and you're not a Christian, you've never made that decision to invite Jesus into your life. You just thought it was about going to church. Well, I'm here to say to you, going to church doesn't change anything really. It's good. But ultimately what Jesus wants is a personal relationship with you. For you to invite Him into your life. Will you do that this morning? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you want to do that, I want you right where you are just to pray this prayer out to yourself. We're all going to join with you in saying that because we want you to know that you're not alone. You're with a family of believers. And so let me just pray with you right now. Lord Jesus, I thank You for what You've done for me. I thank You for what You did for me on that cross. I thank You that You've invited me to the table. I don't feel like I deserve it. I don't feel like I'm worthy. But I hear Your invitation this morning. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done. I'm sorry for how I've treated You. And today I choose You. I choose Your table. And I say, please come into my heart today and rule and reign. I want to follow You. I want to give my heart to You. I surrender to You. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father.